acceptable in your sight, O Lord.
Our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Amen. Didn't realize how tall my shoes made me until I picked them up. Many years ago, I was pastor of in a large congregation in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. And we were getting ready for the 11 o'clock Christmas Eve service, which, similar to this service, had millions of moving parts. They had hired a harpist. They had trumpeters. They had all this stuff. And the choir was lining up in the narthex. We were getting things ready, and a parishioner approached me and said, "You know, I don't think we should have communion on Christmas Eve. We should enjoy the baby Jesus without thinking about killing him." I think, boy, that's just what you want to hear right before you process in for this big service. And I'll be honest, I was stunned and didn't really know what to say at first. And then I just looked at him and said, "Why do you think Jesus was born?" And he said, "Well, I know all that, but we don't have to deal with that till when." Good thing you had a grasp on it. Now, when you're standing in the narthex on Christmas Eve at 11 o'clock and you're getting ready to process, it's really not the time to have a theological disputation. So I just looked at him and sang the second verse of "What Child Is This?" "Nails, spears shall pierce him through. The cross he bore for me, for you. Hail, hail, the Word made flesh, the babe, the Son of Mary." And I wanted to end it with, but I didn't. But I told him later, you know, the whole sweeping panoramic story, from the manger to the cross to the empty tomb to beyond, is the amazing story, our gospel message, the incarnation, the Word made flesh. Now this week, thinking about this, I was first drawn to the incarnation because I was thinking about all of the emotions that Jesus would have gone through from Palm Sunday, that triumphal entry, to the close of this evening when he's betrayed and arrested. It's a lot of things to think about and go through in that first Holy Week. The joy and exuberance of the triumphal entry, the anger of dealing with the money changers in the temple, frustrations of dealing with the traps set by the scribes and the Pharisees when he would teach. The pain of denial, the pain of betrayal, and the sadness of knowing where this path is leading. And all of these emotions are wrapped up in that great motivational factor, love. It's all love. Now, I know that this doesn't sound like a traditional Monday, Thursday sermon. And it's not. This night's about washing the feet of the disciples. It's about, we heard in the collect, it's the institution of the Eucharist. It's the painful prayers from Gethsemane and the arrest. But all of these things reveal to us the wonder of the incarnation. I'll show you what I mean by taking a look at another hymn that could very well be a Christmas carol. I'm not going to sing it, but it's the hymn quoted by the Apostle Paul in the second chapter of the Epistle to the Philippians. Listen to the beauty of this hymn. The scholars call it the Christ hymn. Paul quotes a hymn. And he sets it up. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ. And here's the hymn. Who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself as nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. Being made in the image of God and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus, as God incarnate in human flesh, laid aside his glory and made himself as nothing, taking the nature of a servant. And what transpired in the upper room in our gospel tonight, John records it as if it's a revelation about the incarnation. He got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Jesus assumed the absolute role of servant, taking off his outer garments and setting them aside was like laying aside his glory and wrapping the towel around his waist. He humbled himself, becoming the servant. And it was so apparent. It's so apparent that Peter starts having a conniption fit about it. No, you will never wash my feet. Now remember that the Holy Spirit had revealed to Peter Peter's confession, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Ain't no way you're going to wash my feet. Jesus was demonstrating for the disciples, showing them and showing you and showing me what humility and suffering servanthood look like. We are to follow Jesus' example. And we may not have much glory, but whatever glory we have, we're to lay it aside and take up the mantle of servanthood, serving others in love. And I say love, this whole evening is about love. The commandment that we're given on this night is to love. Love one another as I have loved you. But the story in our text even begins with love. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Jesus was a person of deep, passionate, emotional intensity. As a human being, he experienced the emotions that you and I feel. Because of the incarnation, Jesus is 100% human. And he's 100% divine. And we have to remember, he's not a hybrid. He's fully both all the time. I'm amused constantly by people who will read a passage and say, oh, that's showing the humanity of Jesus. And one of them is the story tonight. They'll say, oh, in the Garden of Gethsemane, that prayer, that's showing Jesus human. side, the humanity of Jesus coming out there. See, I want to say the humanity of Jesus was coming out 100% of the time. The divinity of Jesus is there 100% of the time. He doesn't switch back and forth. Oh, I think this situation might call for a little more divinity. I need to be a little more human over here. It's 100% of both. All the time. He doesn't switch to fit the occasion. Jesus has real emotions. Just like you and me. He wept at the tomb of his friend Lazarus. He felt compassion for the multitudes. He loved his own to the end. This is a great comfort to me, and I hope it is to you, that to know that no matter what I'm feeling, no matter how I'm feeling that day or what emotions are running through my head and through my heart, Jesus understands. He feels them. He associates and connects with me. He associates and connects with you because of the incarnation. This is the gift of God in human flesh. But the question that arises on Monday, Thursday, as we walk it with him, is, do you associate and connect with him? Are you willing to be part of the incarnation? Are you willing to love others as he has loved you? Are you willing to lay aside any pretense of glory that you might have and make yourself a servant to others? Are you willing to humble yourself as you're called to? Jesus told the disciples before he got dressed and sat back down at the table, giving us an example. Are you willing to follow? Amen.